Okay, the lessons on the program, excuse me, says family resources for the normal and exceptional child. Now, all the things that we have that you might want to use in your own home for normal family situations will be found in here. So what we'd like to do tonight is to take... Dan, did someone take it?
Yes, they walked
Oh my gosh, program's canceled. Our resource is
so I've got other ones.
Well, I'll go on. Oh, there we go. Okay, the one that we'd like to have you work with us tonight on is called The Exceptional Christian, and it's in this year's NLPTL program planning packet. There's also a sample of it out on the display area. This happens to be written by Dr. Gansky. And,
I get a quarter for everything.
He gets nothing for this because we're a poor organization and we just,
you know, all lifesavers I can eat.
Yeah, right. We are going to pass out lifesavers, though. And, we don't want you to eat them, though. I'll tell you before you leave what they're for. There's a curse, an NLPTL curse on these lifesavers. You're supposed to save them. If you eat them, beware. You can take some for eating. You really can. But just save one for a special reason. Okay, Jan.
This is a small group. As you can see, so you must be drawn by something mysterious. And this is, you're probably thinking, wow, Christian marriage in the 80s, equipping future pastors, and you open this program and you see section C, look at these crazy fools, resources for the normal and exceptional child, where does that fit in? And I guess we kind of like to hit you over the head tonight with a couple of ideas, and what they're pretty obvious. One is that individuals are all different, and we're just not all alike. Some individuals are tall and some are short, and some individuals have a handicap. And families are all different too, because they're all made up of different individuals. And some families have individuals that have a handicap in them. And for us folks in the church, that has some pretty important implications. It means that when you get out there, or if you're already out there, you know, that experience, people are different. You just can't treat everybody the same. And you have to be pretty flexible with what you're doing and consider the needs and the gifts and the abilities which God has given to each individual. So that's kind of important. Another thing is that there's some things that are happening in society that affect the church and the makeup of the church and the parochial schools, the population that are in them. And we ought not to respond to everything that society does, but nevertheless, there are a couple of important trends happening. Generally, it's talking about rights for handicapped folks and putting them back in their communities instead of putting them out in a farmland somewhere to graze in big colonies or something like that. So the fancy words for that is deinstitutionalization, or you might see normalization, or Education for All Handicapped Children Act. But what it means is that moms and dads are keeping more of their kids with handicaps at home, and that local agencies are picking up a lot of the caring, social service, educational functions, and are being funded to do so. So when you look at the makeup of the church on a given Sunday, or the makeup of your parochial school, you're going to have moms and dads thinking, wow, I've got my kids at home now, or my child, or my son or daughter, or my brother, or even my mom or my dad, who years ago might have been put off somewhere. So that doesn't mean now we suddenly become interested. It just maybe reminds us of our responsibilities, and that maybe this thing's going to get a little closer to home than we realize, and maybe this is something we need to talk about. But enough of that. We're going to put you to work tonight for a little while. We're going to break up into a couple of groups, and we're going to try and take advantage of your experiences and maybe hopefully get you to look at some of your impressions and the impressions of the other people that you're going to be mingling with, and also work through a kind of a simulation type exercise where we've got a problem for you to look at in a congregation and some implications of that with different types of handicaps and how you may respond. But before we get started and stuff, can anyone name any handicaps that they've seen? You don't have to have a length of experience, but seen? Yes.
I had a girlfriend that had this calcium deficiency disease, and they stopped the growth in her legs so that she was like a normal adult size from her waist up, but her legs were like the size of a four-year-old, so she was confined to a wheelchair. But she drove a van and had a job in an insurance company and sold insurance and got around. And she was very well adjusted for a handicapped person. Went to college. She got around on her own. And, people would say, oh, can I help you? She'd say, no, thank you. You know, just go on. She was really well adjusted. And had been brought in up in a home where she was not babied. She had a twin sister with the same problem with the both of them, and she did like normal, as much as possible.
So, pretty close.
That was my experience.
Anyone else had any experiences, or have you seen it? Can you, what kind of name that handicap is?
I had a friend who's lost all his fingers at the first time. Just recently in a farming accident, changed his mind. And it's hard for him to just put it in, sort of. Oh, whenever you're around him, he's still uncomfortable with it and makes others uncomfortable with it.
So it can happen any time in your life. That's something we don't often realize. Anyone else? Can anybody name any handicaps? Yes.
Well, I've got an uncle that he had polio when he was younger, but kind of overcome that. And recently he retired, but he, about 5 years ago, had a collapsed lung. And so was always on oxygen, but like in her case, he has been able to get around on his own, and he does not classify himself as handicapped, and made his own living and everything. And I also have a relative on my mom's side that I'm not sure what it is, but she had a walking disabled, and she also is still working. Both of them, been able to take care of themselves.
Anyone else?
I know another family that has a 3-year-old who's mentally retired and looks like he's about a year and a half old, still can't walk, school, sort of thing. Quite a burden on the parents. But I have another family who has the same situation. Their child is now grown and now 30 years old, lives at home and has a job, plays golf. Because he was at that bottom level of relationship and stagnation. But he has very long children.
And he's an adult now.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you talking about the handicaps from birth, or
could be any?
We had a great aunt when I was really young. Great aunt lived with us for about 2 years, and she had had 4 or 5 strokes, which she was bedridden part of the time and everything. But it was a marvelous experience for my brother and I, because we really learned to appreciate old people through the problems that she had and her being able to share with us, even though she was bedridden most of the time.
I have a son who's 10 and a half, who some people say has handicapped eyes, even a very normal child. But he was born with some handicaps that some have been corrected and some will not be corrected. But because he is able to take care of himself and his family very bright, then I have a very hard time, admitting to anybody that I have this handicapped child. But I realize that when people see him with his brace on or his inability to do certain things, then they would probably view him as possibly a handicapped child. But I have more sympathy with people who have children who are like this, the Down syndrome or something like that, because somehow or another, we seem to think that we can go over any obstacle as long as it's physical. I seem to have that tendency. Maybe some people have more of a trouble with the physical problem. To me, physical problems all seem to be somehow you work around them. But the mental problem, it's just got to be love, 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 love. And I really have tremendous respect for families who are, as you said, pulling them off the grace field keeping them home where they can surround them with the love of the Lord. It's really fantastic.
This is my wife. I won't pick on her though.
fight when I get home.
Oh.
Do
you want to? Do you have his name
on the handicap?
Yeah. That will come up there.
Anybody want to answer a guess or a definition, not a guess, at what would you, so if you were to define what a handicap was, we've heard a whole variety of things. I don't have one written in my pocket. I told you last week that y'all better say something, but I really don't have anything written in here about it.
What is a handicap?
Yeah.
Anything that, any condition that makes it harder for you to get along in a sort of normal world, the way it's built with steps and written words, printed words.
Do you think it goes against the status quo? Basically, a handicap, whether you're above it or below.
That's a good point to make. When I went through school, they were, and it's still in many states, children who are gifted are put in special education. And I often wonder why they put that category in, and even the university departments is put in there sometimes. But they, it's a deviation from the norm, and that's considered a handicap for in some instances. That's, again, it's, you don't adjust to what people say you should do. You can't get up the stairs, or you cannot work with a certain type of local material. Anything else?
Maybe a handicap is having a condition which requires special equipment or special adjustments in order to get along in society.
Some adjustments have to
occur. Yes. I was just, when you're talking about the exceptionalism, it reminded me that my nephew, when he first started school, was very bright and got a country school, or not a country, but I mean, was school with large classes and not, any special education or anything. And the teacher would make no adaptation to the fact that he would have his work done very fast and consequently became bored and became a problem in class, and therefore he was considered a discipline problem, and they, calling my sister in for, their child's a problem in school, and they want, almost like, they're going to kick him, that became her responsibility to give him a tape, send little projects and things for him to do, but they couldn't adapt, to the situation. She had to, see that he would, send little projects with him and stuff to keep him quiet in school. She didn't get so bored.
Well, put you to work here. Let me say a couple things. Pass these out. Does anybody, you want to say something? No? Okay. Just stretching. That's pretty good. I've got a little, you've got a couple of questions. There's one in front and one in the back. So I haven't mentioned that before, and they were looking off. One is A and one is B, so we can tackle A first. And there's going to be, we'll break them in half, and one group will call group number one, the other group will have number five, and one number five. Don't ask me what happened to two, three, and four. They got up and walked out. We've just got two left. Didn't like the question. But maybe we could break up into groups, and group one can come up here, and group five maybe back a little bit, and take some time just introducing yourself, first of all. And you don't have to give your biography, but if you just want to introduce yourself, that would be nice. Always nice to meet people. And then select among the midst, if you would, a recorder. Someone who jot down some of the discussion about the questions. And if we have some time, we'll pitch back together and compare some notes and some impressions. And again, the idea is just to get you to reflect on some of this stuff. And obviously, we can't cover a subject like this A to Z in a short period of time. But maybe it'll put in your memory, and you'll have a chance to think about it sometime. There's another resource up here that somebody may be interested in. This lists some useful resources regarding handicap in their families. Some of you may be familiar with these already. These are different agencies
can provide information and services in regards to handicapped kids and their families. And so will the divisions within our own church, the Missouri Senator mentioned, and that's not to toot our own horn, that's just saying those things are available. And sometimes when you get desperate, you might think, well, what does the Commission for Services to the Mentally Retarded do? Or does the Senate have any special ed material or curriculum or guidelines? And you're going to find the answer to those things are yes, if you just want to take the time to ask the right question. So you might want to pick one of those up on your way out. So the key, the, all the right answers are posted on the board outside. So, want to get in your room. There, that would be okay. Get it all mixed up. And not fast. Okay. I'm going to one more.
Look at all the guys in this position. It's too bad he couldn't go to service in life, but
That would be really fantastic. Then they can share with each other. You know, yeah. I mean, you could, you immediately come to this idea. Boy, wouldn't that be great if they, you know, share with each other.
And why don't we have them?
I said, the Lord gives us these ideas, and what do we do with them? We sit on them, or do we put them in the action?
But on the other hand, I stared only until I got used to seeing. I had a friend that was badly burned, and he was scarred, and I was scared of the lady. And I stared at it until I got used to it, and then I wondered why it was. But if they were more exposed, it's not something that could happen in a year or 2 months, it would take generations. But back in the middle ages, for identifying people wasn't something to be scared of, but then handicaps were a lot more, or crippling.
And they had to depend on their bread. Yeah. They sat on the corner and asked for alms because that was the only way they could.
So people were more used to seeing crickets,
but they aren't. When you see someone, they stare at them. I think maybe it is part of that parents who are autistic kind of done. Handicapped person, where they could. Because I mean, like my grandfather was 97, he was stroke. And he, you know, people stared at him every time he went to church, and grandma thought, well, you better just quit going to church. Because it was really, it was hard on the whole family. He wanted to be there, and he was the grandfather of the Missouri Senate. People there, you know, he didn't care if no one else was in church, he was going to be there.
Say that because they look funny and
sometimes they would speak out, or they talked to the people beside them, and there was a group of people who were part of the church who did not like something. And was very upset and insulted that they were there. They should be with their own kind. They should be.
They never read James before, did they?
None of the rest of the kids seem to be upset, but my daughter, and it's real. She's just had a little bit of exposure to it. Perhaps what it was dramatic, I don't know. But her fear is real, and she'll come and sit on my lap and I can feel her heart beating. Is she aware that that is what you and Janet did? She does not know that it's part of your life.
Retarded
like a little cerebral palsy plus uncontrolled seizures. They could move down where they were smarter, they could write. You know, they could get lost, but that uncontrolled seizure did wipe them out.
And someone invited with a new person in the community, and she had a young daughter. And she was probably about 6 months. She was kind of large, but she was completely helpless. And she came in the war also, thankfully. She came in, and that was a tremendous thing about them. I was telling you, never knew before, and you had to go knowing that you were taking your burden with you. And she thinks it really enjoyed her. And she said, oh, no. I mean, there could be other circumstances that were coming back and whatever. But I realized what sacrifice she had to make, because she had to come and just take care of all the problems that were arriving right then while she was raising her mountain. And that, I mean, too many of them are often just not good by themselves. You know,
I was involved in something that I'm not very proud of. There was a, which could go along with this, I helped teach a midweek class. And two boys in a class, 15 first and second grade, two boys were, one was emotionally picked out because his family broke up. The other one had learning disabilities, six glasses, he was hyperactive. And the other teacher and I controlling so much to his mother that she stopped learning. And I'm ashamed.
Is that always on? I mean, that's
now what do you do there? If I had known,
I don't think how to handle it.
Which after he left, I felt very, very bad, so I did something special for the other boys. Made a contract with him. Which is, if I don't care enough, I could have done that with another old fellow. And, you know, in the morning, to get him to class. Or, you know, why should you expect 15 kids to sit around the table and all he did was sit back in the chair and, you know, jump it up, you know, no big deal.
I have to make a contract. I like that idea of contract for me, but I'm telling you.